Hello, friends. Life is a journey. What's your story? Well, I have someone with me today who I absolutely adore, and I love the gallery, and I'm so happy that she could join us. With us today is Leslie Elsasser, and I love to say that because it's so eloquent, and the gallery is just as eloquent. The Wild Space Gallery at the Florida Wildlife Corridor Foundation. Welcome to the studio.
And thank you for having me.
So I want to start off by saying, where is the gallery and what is the Florida Wildlife Corridor Foundation?
So the gallery is in the Warehouse District, in the factory, it's called. We are open, I'll start with this, the gallery is open to the public Wednesdays through Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m., except for second Saturdays and special events. And we are housed in the headquarters of the Florida Wildlife Corridor Foundation.
And, you know, I want to just share with people, you know, the Florida Wildlife Corridor, it comprises 18 million acres of connected wilderness and working lands that provide safe habitat for wildlife and protect the ecosystem and the aquifer and continue to provide valuable nature and recreational opportunities. The Wild Space Gallery, what is their mission?
So we share the same mission with the Florida Wildlife Corridor, which is to permanently connect, protect, and restore the Florida Wildlife Corridor, which is the central part of Florida, more or less, that runs up through the state. So we do that in several ways. The foundation does that in many different ways. We do it mostly through visual art, painting, drawing, films. The foundation does murals. But we do this in a way to visualize, to fall in love with the places we live, to bring importance and awareness to the places in which the corridor is vital.
Well, right now you have an exhibit that really touches my heart. Ernesto Marange, did I say that right?
No, but I had to ask him numerous times also, Marange.
Marange, to the edge of the wild, and there it's just absolutely the most stunning art I have seen. So tell us all about this artist and what we need to know.
Okay, so Ernesto Marange, he lives in Miami. He was largely an international, national, and local Miami-based muralist. This is one of his first solo shows, and he built a brand new body of work for this exhibition. And I don't know if you know, I'm sure you do, we're in St. Pete with the Shine Mural Festival, etc. When you get a commission to do a mural, you submit a proposal. So when you're doing the mural, there's not a ton of room to evolve or to develop. Right. With the body of work, Ernesto really worked along the lines of what his concerns are, his muse, the wildlife, native ecosystems, the animal relationships, and biological evolution. He worked that into his practice, where To the Edge of the Wild doesn't describe, but gives an idea that the animals and the flora and fauna are inexplicably linked. That for the health of the environment, the species need to flourish. For the health of the species, the environment needs to flourish. So you see the contours and the edges dissolve. That they are linked in such a way, and not to exclude humans. We're linked in that too. And as Ernesto said, and I'm going to paraphrase because obviously he's not here, when he was doing his talk, he said, the idea is, now you see me, now you don't. Giving us a chance to decide, what do we want to do? Subtly, without being didactic, of course.
When I look at the heron,
yeah,
it's not just us looking in a window to see this glorious symbiotic relationship, but it is the animals in the background also observing back. Just incredible. And, you know, the interdependence among living creatures. Today we had someone who talked about an octopus and how the tentacles actually reflect that interdependence. So I look at this majestic bird and I see so much in it. Now, Tell me a little bit about the Panther and Egret mural and what that is about.
That was really cool. So Ernesto, being a mural artist, was one, and there's a mural program with the foundation, not through the gallery, and they go into critical areas to unite community, bring awareness to these critical parts of the corridor. And Ernesto is ground zero for that. He did the mural on the front for us at the very beginning of the foundation headquarters and the gallery. And we commissioned him to do a mural in the corridor of the factory in the back that links all the businesses. So it bookends front and back. What I find really spectacular, and Ernesto never said this, but it's not lost on me, that at one time in Florida, the egret was nearly extinct. And because of the feather trade, et cetera, et cetera, and because of human intervention in different societies and what have you, largely Audubon, the population was reinvigorated. They're no longer on the endangered list. However, the panther is. So it's not lost that there is a question being asked, like, can this be reinvigorated? Can the panther populate again? And largely the egret was saved because the habitat was protected. So the question arises subtly. It's not Ernesto didactically hitting you on the head, but it is not lost to me. Asking questions is, if we protect that habitat, will the population rebound? And then he nestled inside there an alligator, you know, these ancient species, an alligator, right. Also an armadillo. So it's this idea of evolution done in a very different style than the murals in the front, much more akin to his works on canvas.
And art as activism. So you can talk all you want about save the planet, climate change, but when you look at this glorious past and present and future kind of wonderful mural, you say to yourself, what can we do? How can I support this? It calls the question, doesn't it?
It does. And even at a very basic level, you fall in love.
You fall in love.
And you go, oh. And he makes these species. One thing I said to him while he was here, because he did the mural site specifically during the week prior to opening when we were installing the show. And it's extraordinary, extraordinary. What Ernesto does is they're all loose brush marks. So when you're really close, all you see is a trace of the human mark. But when you stand back, they coalesce into these forms. And it is so extraordinarily beautiful because the panther's kind of looking at you. It's kind of meeting your gaze, and you cannot help but fall in love with both the human who made it and the actual animal.
And he's such an interesting story. Of course, Cuban-American came to Miami and then in the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he discovered. He's self-taught, and he has a studio in Sunrise. But his murals are everywhere. Portland, Salt Lake City, Fort Lauderdale, Jordan, Ukraine, Lebanon, and Iraq. And he is very, very engaged with nonprofits, Big Brothers and Big Sisters. But I didn't know he was so commercial. Street art and in-store collabs with Chewy, Cirque du Soleil, Flower to Power, Chase Bank, and Disney. And yet, despite all of these things, his focus is on wildlife, conservation here and now, very aligned with your own mission.
Yeah, our curator, we co-curated this, but our curator of Wild Space Gallery is Noelle Smith. Mm-hmm. And a year ago, she said, we need to bring Ernesto Marhani back. And she could not have been more right. It's so aligned. He really talks about this idea, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but of the biological evolution. And his own evolution as part of that, our own evolution as part of that. And he talked about the process of these paintings as being part of his own biological evolution. So it seems to me, and of course I don't want to put words in Ernesto's mouth, but what I could understand talking to him is there is no separation for him. This is his muse, the flora, the fauna, the animals. They're so interconnected, and he says this idea of biological evolution will serve as his muse forever.
I think it is so wonderful that Janae Priebe, who has been in studio with us, who worked on Shine and now has her own consulting project, had that fabulous conversation on August 8th with him. Mm-hmm. You also had a mural tour on August 9th, Beyond the Frame, which you do a lot of this kind of step outside of the museum or the gallery. You've got two events coming up. September 9th, an author series mm-hmm. with John O'Miller and the Palmetto Book, continuing on in celebrating the flora and fauna. Tell us about that.
All right. So one of the things we do that we really love to do is also celebrate the literary arts. And we have support for that. And we do about five, maybe six authors that loosely dovetail an exhibition, but they're not aligned directly. Or the mission of the foundation. So John O'Miller is a natural historian, educator, and activist, and he spent 50 years studying the relationship between nature and humans. And that's going to come out in this book. And how the cabbage palm is a native species to Florida, also one of the Florida trees, but the remarkable longevity, its relationship to fire and the health of the ecosystem in Florida, its historical uses, and its role in shaping the southeastern American landscape. And that is free. There will be a book signing, if anybody's interested, Q&A, time to talk to the author.
You also have Janae Priebe back for a mural tour on September 12th on the second Saturday, which of course is Downtown Art Walk. Tell us about that.
So Janae collaborated so beautifully with us on a number of events related to Ernesto. The talk, as you said, she moderated the talk. Janae is going to offer, again free, a tour of the murals at the factory, the permanent collection, some international, some local, some national, and that will either be TBA, 4 to 5, and then the gallery will be open, or 5 to 6, and that will be at the factory, and we will be having that on our socials and our website in the next few days.
I want to talk about some of the past exhibitions. For those of you who don't know, I mean, it reads like something out of, I mean, we are a world-class city. This is where art lives. And I love the Connect and Protect, but the one I really love was Unnatural Geographies. Can you just talk about the maps of Ibrahim, Miranda, and Aaron Oliver? Because this, to me, was just incredible, especially in a year of America 250.
It was an incredible exhibition. So Noelle Smith, our curator, has known Ibrahim Miranda for a number of years. She's a specialist in Cuban art. And she's been wanting to bring him here, but how did it relate to the corridor? Not all of our exhibitions are as direct as, say, Ernesto Miranda. So the more we dug, the more we found the trade, the indigenous population, which was so vibrant at a time, and how karst, the limestone, is so important to both Cuba and Florida and has an international relationship. One of the things we like to do with exhibitions, and he changed printmaking in Cuba in the 80s and 90s and came up with what we now know are the really international Cuban artists who are his peers. But what we like to do is then elevate maybe a midlife artist, and that was Erin Oliver, who I first met when she was in graduate school. And she did abstract work about karst, about being in the springs, about the experience of what that is like. And it was aesthetically and conceptually both different and akin to one another. It was a beautiful exhibition.
This one I liked, and I was able to hear the talk. You Are Here and Jeff Ripple, Enduring Light. Oh, you just got to share this. The actual color conservation photography was amazing.
So those were two separate exhibitions. You Are Here mm-hmm. are conservation photographers, mm-hmm. including Carlton Ward and Jeff Ripple. Jeff Ripple paints these. He started as a photographer, actually, but he lives in Mikioki, I think it's called. Anyway, he mm-hmm. lives within the corridor. And he's very attuned to the Hudson River Valley painters who really claimed or became the look of the Americas.
And they were plein air.
Yeah, plein air. Yes, and studio painters, but they would paint this incredible light. And we started to imagine as a culture America looking like this. Well, some of them came to Florida. And Jeff Ripple followed that trajectory and is very interested in these places, of which he's been. He leads paddles. He loves to be on the river. He's an outdoorsman. He used to work in conservation photography. But now he takes those ideas and brings them into his current practice. And it was extraordinary. They were precious, jewel-like, gorgeous landscapes. And I don't want to say precious like untouchable, but precious in the way that they were just so extraordinarily gorgeous.
So the final one I just want to mention, and then I want to turn my attention to you, is 125 Years of Audubon.
Mm.
And I have my bird watching books. I love all of this stuff. I, of course, went to Cornell where we have the ornithology lab.
Oh.
So, and many of the Audubon originals. So this was really, this was groundbreaking and spectacular.
Yeah, we collaborated with Audubon in Florida for their 125-year anniversary.
125, folks.
And they, some of those photographs are how, and we had field notes, we had field equipment, all these different things. That's how I learned that the egret had been so endangered in Florida. And sort of the protocols that went into place and the people who really stood up to save them. But we collaborated with them, and it was artists who had been in residency in the Everglades through them. And then some of, we had a few other things in there, but it was mostly the work that they had shown in northern Florida.
So again, it's art as activism. It's art that looks back. It's art that can set agendas going forward. When the birds go, they always say when the bees go, we go. I say when the birds go, we go. And again, the gallery, the Wild Space Gallery, is at the heart of this. So tell me how long the Wild Space Gallery has been here and how you came to join them.
I will. But I want to just say one thing.
Oh, yes.
As much as art is activism, I think it's art is awareness.
Much better said.
You know, because not everybody is going to be an activist. And we work with so many different people that, and we're nonpartisan, that it's very inclusive. But when people become aware of where they live, even in your backyard, right? As I said before, you fall in love with it, or you have the potential to fall in love with it, to care for the animals. So the history of the gallery came from the foundation. It was developed by the Florida Wildlife Corridor Foundation from the very beginning, and that mission was to cultivate awareness and action. This was part of the foundation from the very beginning. Awareness and action through film, photography, painting, drawing, mapping, storytelling, and expeditions. Storytelling is at the heart of the foundation. So Wild Space Gallery was founded by the Florida Wildlife Corridor Foundation. As I said before, we're located at the headquarters. We have a gorgeous, beautiful gallery.
How old is the gallery?
3 years.
It's only 3 years.
This
and you've
year.
Done so much.
And we love it. We really believe in community. Mm-hmm. So, and I know one says that, but truly, if one has a vibrant community, that vibrant community will connect with each other, right? So we foster those relationships as much as we can, and we build relationships with different sectors in the community, people. Everybody is always welcome. We are always free. And just like we shepherd the artists or support the artists, we also like to support the community.
So tell us a little bit about your... very knowledgeable about art. You're very eloquent. Tell us a little bit about you, your history, and how you came to be with this organization.
It's a kooky story.
I love kooky stories.
I didn't grow up in Florida. I always say that because a lot of the people at the foundation are sixth, seventh generation Floridian. I grew up in New York. But I've always, my whole life, been, I don't even know what the right word would be, but it's more than interested. It was, but I wasn't an activist, but caring for animals, whether in the wild or through, you know, humane society or what have you. So when I was at the USF Contemporary Art Museum, I was there for 8 years. I was the education curator. Noelle Smith, who's the curator now at Wild Space Gallery, was my deputy director at the museum. And she retired, but she failed because...
People like you and she never retire. It's just an encore, encore, and another encore chapter.
Exactly. So she was asked to curate the first show at the Wild Space Gallery.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which she continued doing. And I went to this first one. I went to the second one. I thought, I've been in the arts my whole life. My family's been in the arts. But this is different and new. And it's on the threshold of being meaningful. Not on the threshold, it was meaningful, but it was on the threshold of talking to people who weren't just insular in the arts. It was talking to everybody.
Everybody.
And I loved it. Mm-hmm. And so when a position opened, I hounded them. And I've been there 2 years.
Well, you know, you also mentioned to me that you spent time in France.
I did.
And tell me a little bit how living in France shaped your outlook on the importance of art, artists, and storytelling, because I know that you have a very unique point of view. Your POV is different than many people I've met here.
Oh, interesting.
Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for saying that. I'm not quite sure what you see, but, you know, I've been in the arts my whole life. Mm-hmm. My father was in the arts. I went to an art school, an undergraduate. I did my graduate work, actually, in Tampa at USF. Mm-hmm. It is a gem. And weirdly enough, I'm going to try and make this short. I've always been more nonverbal than visual. So I'm very visual. I didn't talk a lot when I was a kid, because I didn't know how to explain things that were visual, which is how I understood the world. Of course, I've learned those skills. But literature, the arts, were very important to me. So growing up, I went to art school, which was fabulous, worked in New York City, and I actually moved to Paris. It seemed like a natural progression. My father had lived there. I had dreamt about and saw myself living there since I was 4 years old. Where these ideas come from, I have no idea.
I just, you know, people thought about Anne of Green Gables, and I'm with you. I always dream of a life with the expats in Paris, on a cafe society, with art being part of every space.
Absolutely. And one of the things in France is even the most common person is adept at culture. Because it's in everything. Right. Mm-hmm. It's in a film you see. It's in an advertisement you see. It's in the clothes you wear.
It's in the flowers on the little table.
Everything. And so I realized that it was part of daily life and that it didn't have to be pretentious. It just had to be integrated.
It's not within walls. It's a life.
It's a life.
It's the way you live.
And it's alive. And it matters. And it unites people.
And it's not on your phone streaming.
Although,
yes.
I'm very good friends with Instagram, but yes.
Well, I see Instagram as an art form. Honestly, I think, to me, it's like being in a gallery sometimes when you're looking at fashion or style. You came back here to Tampa. How has Tampa changed in its relationship to the arts and culture? Can you talk to me about your feelings about that?
It's funny. I'm going to try and put this into words, but I've just been thinking about it. I came here a long time ago, actually to care for a mother who had retired here. And there were galleries, there were pockets, there were talented people, there were smart people. But now, I think about this, The food culture has changed. Mm-hmm. St. Petersburg was always vibrant, but you could go 2 weeks before you'd go to an opening, or you could go a month before there was an author's talk.
Right.
Except for the universities, they've always been stakeholders in this sort of cultural world. However, now I think about, like, tonight, I have to choose.
What's on the agenda? Just tell us.
Well, there are openings tonight at HCC. There's a performance at HCC. There's something happening at Tempest Projects. And
I feel the same way. I mean,
in St. Petersburg, I'm sure there are things, but I just have to choose because if you want to be in the arts, you need to support the arts, right?
That's right.
So, but you can't do everything. And now I find any given day of the week, one has to choose, which is a marvelous problem to have.
Folks, if you've just joined us, we're talking to the one and only Leslie Elsasser. She is with the Wild Space Gallery, which is with Wildlife Corridor
Foundation.org,
supported. And who are you supported by? Because I think it's important to do a shout out to how can the audience that's listening, besides coming to your events, support what you're doing at the gallery and in a larger way with the foundation?
Well, I'm going to answer about the gallery, and then I can tell you where you can find more information about the foundation. For the gallery, I call it feel-good money. You can buy an artwork. We're a nonprofit, so that money goes to the artist and the rest goes to the foundation. No donation is too small. If you'd like to make one, you could go to our website and you could click, it's floridawildlifecorridor.org, click on gallery, and then it's under our work. You can find out. I believe there are QR codes there. You can come into the gallery. We're funded by multiple revenue streams. We have a wonderful development team. We have other streams of revenue. I don't want to speak out of turn, but we have a fabulous graphs and such that you can see the percentage of funding.
And of course, Mallory Dimmitt is involved with this.
She's our CEO.
CEO, who we love with all our heart. And we love that we get great stuff from you. We've actually aired some of the talks that have happened. We thank you for that.
Thank you.
So tell us what the next exhibit will be. Can you share that with us, please?
I can, and I'm super excited. So the next exhibit will open on October 3rd. However, that's only a soft opening. The opening with the artist talks will be on October 10th. It's three New York artists. It's called The Unseen Landscape. I curated this one. I'm in the midst of writing about it right now. But these are artists that are deeply engaged with the intelligence, the experience of being in nature or the natural world. However, it's seen from the inside out, meaning it might have multiple perspectives. It's not making what the nature landscape looks like, which we usually do. We look from the inside, the outside in, right? We look. This is the experience of it, the magnificence of it, the magnitude of it, the awe and the intelligence of it.
The awe and the intelligence of it.
And
I love that you just said that.
They are incredible. Two of the artists live in the Hudson River Valley, have flourishing careers. They left New York City post-COVID. The other artist is Julie Evans, Eric Wolf, and Carl Kelly. Carl Kelly splits his time between Tampa Bay and the city, New York City. And it's the first time Tampa Bay has seen any of their work. I am so excited.
Well, we are excited as well.
Please come.
Absolutely. Leslie, is there anything we haven't talked about today? We're looking forward to having you back.
Well, thank you.
And I'm looking forward to hopefully recording that, getting out to do this, because I cannot believe he lives in Tampa and in New York City.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
See, Tampa is really becoming a haven.
Absolutely. I know artists that have practices in New York City and Tampa. This is not unusual anymore.
I just love that. Well, it has just been wonderful to talk about Wild Space Gallery. 3 years, that's a major milestone. Every exhibit feels so fresh and so important. And now that we see some of the design and the intelligence of the person curating and running it, it's no wonder.
Thank you for saying that. That's awfully kind of you.
So for Radio St. Pete, I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. You can find, we'll have all of the links and all of the information up. Leslie is the gallery director. You can reach her at LeslieFloridaWildlifeCorridor.org and follow on Instagram at?
At Wild Space St. Pete, both Instagram and Facebook.
And it's so much fun to be on your Instagram, so thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for having us. We are so grateful and appreciative.
Well, we look forward to having you again. And so Lunchtime Conversations, you know, we support good deeds and nonprofits, and we are where community conversations and local music and art live. Thank you, Leslie.
And thank you for all you do. Thank you.